Broadcasting from AnyUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's December 12th, 2008, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. Can you tell I have a head cold?
I could tell because I spent 16 hours in a car with you the last 2 days.
I was hacking and sniffing and snorting.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
I'm very disappointed, too. I haven't had a cold in like 4 years.
You know, disappointed that you haven't had a cold in 4 years?
It took surgery to knock me out, you know what I mean? But this is the first cold I've had in so long, and I hate it. I hate being sick. I sound like... Well, I guess my voice is a little deeper. I got a little more of that radio thing going.
There you go.
But the trip we took was, even though it was painful for me, and I was sick, it was a lot of fun. We went up to Ebro in the panhandle of Florida.
Yeah, just north of Panama City Beach.
Long ride. Very long ride. Incredibly long. Almost 1,000 miles round trip. And we went and... they had a nice little charity tournament that was run by the World Poker Tour for the American Cancer Society. And Hoyt Corkins was there.
That's right.
He was a special guest. So we interviewed him. We had another chance to interview him. Last time I interviewed him, it was a quick little thing at Foxwoods. But now I had a little more time with him, and some more stuff has happened to him since then. So that's going to be our main topic today. We'll play that a little later on.
You know, my favorite part of that, too, was the fact that, you know, there's not a big market for cowboy hats here in Florida. You don't see a lot of folks walking around with them. So when we were in the room and we were talking to the owner and some other folks at the room, and some guy in a cowboy hat came in, immediately, hey, it's Hoyt! And you ran over, and then you came back like 5 minutes later. I'm like, oh, that was quick. And you're like, yeah, it wasn't Hoyt.
It wasn't Hoyt. I said, I thought he looked kind of tall. I thought Hoyt was wearing lifters or something. I said, but from a far distance, you couldn't really tell. The guy had a black hat, you know. And I said, that can't
posers.
But it wasn't Hoyt.
Yeah.
And later on, I saw him. And he, again, just great guy. He took me around and met people that he knew. I started playing poker with this guy, and just a great, great guy, great interview, and it'll be good. It'll be worth listening to later on.
All right, great. You know who else would probably be a fun interview?
I don't know who.
Paris Hilton.
She'd be a fun interview?
Well, you know.
If you're looking for a
you just
PFF.
Never know what she's going to say, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is what the first question I would ask is, you know, Paris, you're so famous, but on Lycos, you're the second most searched term. The number one is poker.
Wow.
You're losing to poker, Paris.
Wow.
You need to do something else.
Well, she played poker, so she was trying to, you know, warm her way into the popularity of poker.
Trying to marry the two popular search terms on Lycos.
Wow, so poker was number one, huh?
Yeah, and I think the story I read did not say how many years it's been this, but I'm pretty sure last year was the same way. But poker's been pretty, I mean, for all the folks out there that say poker has plateaued, and to some degree it has, here's proof that folks still are very interested in it.
Let me ask you this. How do you, some degree, plateau? Either you've plateaued or you haven't. It's not like
it's like a step.
Okay.
You know, like, not a step, S-T-E-P, but isn't there one like an S-T-E-P-P-E that's kind of like a rolling hill or something?
I don't know.
I mean, there's a little bump in the plateau. That's what I was talking about.
Okay, so all right. So it's not really a plateau. It's more of a... lol.
But yeah, so that's what Lycos from it's a January 1st to December 1st. Poker and Paris Hilton are the two most searched terms.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why is anyone searching Paris Hilton?
Well, that would be the second question I'd ask Paris.
Okay, yeah. Why? Well, what makes you so interesting?
Because, you know, I thought she'd kind of faded. I thought there's probably other. And they talked about how Britney Spears is coming back, but isn't bigger. I think just her train wreck would have. I mean, resulted in more search terms.
I mean, how much more do you need to know about Paris Hilton?
Yeah, we've seen everything.
I know. I mean, what else is there to see? You know? And when you say everything. So, I mean, what's left to see for Paris Hilton that she's worth searching so much that she's second, you know, on poker? That's pretty shocking to me that poker's number one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad that in our meetings back in May and stuff that when I threw out the idea of a Florida Poker Magazine dedicated to Paris Hilton, you said, no, let's do poker. I think it's going to be more popular. And I said, oh, all right, I'll trust you. That you were right. You were right.
That's right. You owe all your success to me. Because we would have died a quick death after issue one if it was just Florida's Paris Hilton magazine.
But, you know, it'd be funny to see what Paris Hilton's poker avatar would be. You know, if Full Tilt ever made her a red throw and, you know, then dinosaurs came back and hell froze over and stuff like that, of course. But, you know, she could have her own little avatar, and I wonder if guys would, like, you know, lose money just kind of...
Just looking at her avatar?
Staring at her.
Well, she would probably just make it like that little dog that she
carries. Oh, that's true. A little dog.
Something cute and annoying.
Or a cell phone or something. Or,
yeah, something annoying.
Well, then there's a new study out by folks at an outfit called User-Centric Incorporated. And they do a lot of psychological kind of evaluation. And they spent some time writing about getting a read, in quotes, air quotes, on online poker players, Chris. And they looked into avatars and user interface cues and whether you could pick up tells based off of these avatars.
So do you think maybe like if someone puts a shark up there, it means they have an inferiority complex and weak means strong and strong means weak, so they think that because I'm a shark on Full Tilt that I'm a wuss?
Exactly. And they got into some of this. And one that they cited somebody else's research that said 57% of gamers have been found to engage in gender swapping, which sounds a lot sexier than it really is. But pretty much, so particularly women that play online poker, a good percentage of them actually choose a male-looking avatar and to kind of either mask the fact that they're female and not have people think that they're weak, or to do other kind of trickery.
So see that? There's no reason to go to Sweden anymore. For your sex change, just live vicariously through your avatar online. So I guess, and men would obviously, some men do women because they want people to think, oh, men like to flirt and run over women or let them get, you know, free cards or whatever. So maybe they're trying to get some sort of adverse, you know, reverse tell or whatever.
So one point, and actually the research didn't really come to any conclusion. They just raised a lot of good questions, which I think are interesting. But one, they talked about how you can actually, you know, in online poker, you actually manipulate the emotions of your avatars. You know, so you're sitting at a table, and Joe Navarro has told us, you know, hey, there's all kinds of stuff that you do that's all based off that limbic or whatever that part of the brain is that you can't control.
Limbic.
But when you're online, obviously you're doing something to change your little monkey to a smile or... have him wink,
right?
And whether that is a window into tells or false tells.
You know, I think that I would like some research done on what the suicidal clown avatar means on Full Tilt, because I think Faso has used that in the past. Our friend Mike Faso has had that. I mean, he had like the Godfather one, but I've seen him with the suicidal clown on there. I want some research done on that one, man.
Clowns are scary.
Yeah, they are scary. And this one was suicidal, so that makes him doubly scary.
Wait, was he standing on a ledge or something?
I mean, he just looked like he'd gotten his butt whooped, and he just looked like he wanted to kill himself.
Kind of like Dark Knight-ish?
Yeah, very, very much like Dark Knight-ish.
All right.
What's your avatar on there?
You know, I think I still have the Geico. But here's the thing. I felt kind of lost when I was reading this article, because I've turned all the avatars off on my online
thing
for a long time, so I haven't even seen them. So, to be honest, I don't even remember... I think it's still the gecko.
Yeah, I think I'm still a shark or something. I can't remember. I started out as the rock, and then I went to something else. I don't know. But then I was
now you're the river.
But now I haven't changed it because same as you. I don't have my avatars on, so I don't know what I have. I probably have a shark still.
And that's another layer to this that the authors of this didn't get into, the fact that you can turn them off. So all this research into whether you're transmitting cues and stuff, and I'm just sitting there watching the Knight Rider in my underwear, playing, you know. And
folding your laundry.
Exactly, yeah. I don't have any. Yeah. I'm not telling my lizard to jump through hoops or wink or anything like that.
And Knight Rider is code for porn.
That's not true at all. If you're in the last apes, folks knows that I was actually watching Knight Rider. Here's the best part of this whole study, though, is they went into, they had a little fun, and they went forward with some future avatar enhancements that they would like to see.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, so the first one is... additional emotions. So, I mean, obviously you can wink and smile now. They want to get into showing nervousness. Maybe they can start sweating or having a rapidly beating heart.
So you see, like, their shirt, like, popping back and forth quickly or...
Yeah, can you imagine if you go all in for, like, $300 and all of a sudden you get this heart coming out of, like, you know, Pepe Le Pew or something? The next one is stealth mode. After making a bet, you can put on a pair of sunglasses, a branded baseball cap, and or maybe pull your sweatshirt over your head. Over your head.
Yeah, yeah. That's hilarious.
Stare down. You can use a stare down feature to the eyes could get incrementally increase in size when you're waiting for somebody to act.
You'd like Gollum by the end of the time.
That would be great.
That'd be hilarious.
Headphones. And they said they had an internal debate over this, Chris.
Oh, my God.
Whether you should put headphones on your avatar.
I think Phil Ivey's avatar has headphones on, right?
I think so. I think you're right.
I think it does. Oh, my God.
So they said that they equated this to playing live when people have headphones on and they're not paying attention to the action or they miss something. And so they said when you're kind of going in the time bank and delaying, now you can put your headphones on so you have a reason for delaying. You can just say, hey, you're not paying attention.
Well, I'll accept all of those additions as long as I can get a few of my own in there.
Okay.
One would be after someone sucks out on me again with a two-outer to beat me for a $500 pot that I can vomit all over the table.
That would be great. Sort of like SNL, you know, that little tube that comes up to your arm.
Yeah, they got the little tube comes up, and I just go all over the table.
Oh, that would be sweet.
So, yeah, as long as I can react the way I want to react, I'm by all means, bring on the additional, behaviors of the avatar.
Well, the last one, too, was chip stack organization, and you'll probably like this, that you can either choose to have a messy chip stack or very even symmetrical chip stack.
Yeah.
Or maybe even make your chips into a pyramid or something.
Yeah, that's that. You know, they try to do a lot of tells into that. You know, oh, their chips are sloppy. They don't really care. They're a loose, aggressive player. If their chips are neat, they're usually passive and tight. And if they have all of the lines all lined up on the chips, they have too much time on their hands and they're amateurs. And I'm like, that's not true because I watch Carlos Mortensen do that in every tournament I've ever seen him play in. Whenever he's bored because he's folding, gets in early stages, he just makes little pyramids and lines up all the lines on all the chips and. You know, he's one of the best players in the world. So, you know, I love people who think that, you know, they think they know everything by the chip stack. So. But, yeah, I'm all for the avatar, additional avatar behaviors. Just give me my pukey line, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, I wonder if the NAB Nation has any other suggestions. So maybe they should send them to us.
That would be cool.
At editor, or a podcast, actually, either one. Podcast at NABmagazine.com. We'll go with that one this time.
Yeah, we'll go with that one. We have so many email addresses.
Exactly.
We're too busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're way too busy.
So a lot's going on in Washington these days.
Yeah, you know, we would have probably talked about this last week. We had such a damn good show last week.
Yeah,
just went on and on.
Exactly.
We didn't have time to fit all this in, but yeah, tons of stuff going on. And understandably so after an election.
Right, big change coming. You know, we've already talked about Obama and his poker playing and what that's going to mean for online poker.
Right.
But fascinating column on poker news recently. From a gentleman named Dennis Campbell, who has worked in the cabinet before, and not like, you know, kitchen cabinet, like the actual cabinet in D.C. in the past. And he wrote a column saying why the choice of Bill Richardson as Commerce Secretary is a good deal for online poker.
What did it say?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Well, you know what? I didn't read it because I've been hacking up for the last few days, so... I was going to rely on you to just carry the whole show for me.
And it turns out that Bill Richardson was, if he was playing online poker, and there's no evidence to suggest that he does, that he probably would have the suicide clown as avatar. Because Campbell says that he's used to heading up suicide missions.
Oh, my God.
That he takes on the big stuff, and online poker obviously is a contentious issue.
Yep.
But in this budget crisis, it's one that probably has some legs. And that he's not going to be afraid to get in there and look for creative solutions to our nation's economy.
You know, last night after I got home from dropping you off from the trip, I go out to get my garbage cans, and this big black truck pulls up. And he's like, hey, are you the poker dude? And I was like, yeah. It was one of my neighbors, but I couldn't really see his face. And he's like, ooh, I had to ask you, what do you think about all this cheating?
Oh, no.
It's 60 minutes thing. And I'm like, oh, my God. So then I had to sit there for 20 minutes and explain everything to him. And, yeah, I'm just hoping that this finally goes away, that, you know, something just happens soon, you know. But it just it never ends, you know. I mean, I'm getting calls like all the time or emails. Hey, did you see that 60 minutes thing? Just give me a break, man, you know.
Yeah, I came up in a business meeting this morning, too. Everybody's selling. But maybe Bill Richardson and Obama can take care of this and
we'll get moving.
But the Poker Players Alliance is not resting on its laurels.
No,
it's taking this opportunity to jump right into the fray and make its voice heard.
Yep.
And, you know, we've got a lot of, I don't know if criticism, but questions from listeners over the years when the PPA started about where all the money that we're giving them and what exactly they're doing to forward the cause of online poker. And now they are mounting a huge advertising campaign, Chris, and not just in poker magazines or places where poker players are to attract things. Now they're putting ads in political newspapers published in the D.C. area that lawmakers read every day, or at least their lackeys read and clip out for them.
Which is so important. I mean, that's the key to everything. We can get all upset and you know, have a million-man march, but you know, unless these guys are understanding the issues and what's going on and how important it is to all of us, they need to know. So that 60 Minutes thing might be a step in the right direction as well. So combine these things, and I'm interested to see what they offer.
Well, their slogan is going to be, no matter how you cut the deck, regulation is the answer.
That's good, I guess.
Yeah, it's a little poker, a little twist.
Yeah.
Cutting the deck, yeah. So the ad's going to go on and make the point about how the ban has failed to protect consumers, which it has, and, you know, ruining personal liberties, which it has, and creating a black market, which it has, and all the stuff that we know already, and try to convince the folks in D.C. that what they're doing now is not working, and not only what they could do would work, but would make lots of money for a money-starved
company. You know, I have an addendum to that slogan.
An addendum, all right.
It should be, no matter what way you cut the deck, regulation is the ace of spades.
Ooh.
Because ace of spades automatically wins.
Yeah. See, that's going to second level, though. You might be passing over the the distinguished junior congressman from Montana with that reference.
They can run it in the poker mags, because all the poker readers will understand what that means. And then they'll adjust it, because people do that all the time. You know, like when you watch like Kill Bill?
Yeah.
And when she drives away on regular TV, the car says party wagon. But we all know what it says when we watch it in the movie. So, you know, they do it all the time. Depending on your audience, they adjust things. So they could adjust the slogan, you know, and I'll let them have it for free. There's my donation to the PPA. You can have my slogan for free.
Wow.
How's that?
I'm sure John Pappas will be excited to hear your generosity.
I don't need any, you know, no, you know, nothing. Just take it. Take it and run with it.
Well, in Texas, too, we have a lot of listeners in Texas. And they, for all the history with poker in Texas, you know, all those road games, and of course those were all illegal, too, but those road games of Doyle and folks back in the day, there's no legal poker in Texas.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
It's a big, huge state. And
you know, I used to think the Nile was in Egypt, but it's apparently... apparently runs through Texas. Pretty ridiculous.
Well, apparently a Democratic state representative in Texas, Jose Menendez, has relaunched House Bill 222 in the House there.
To legalize poker.
Legalize and regulate it, of course. And it says that all poker gaming in Texas would be regulated and licensed by the Texas Lottery Commission.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's my number one beef with all this.
Yeah.
If you have a lottery, you need to have poker.
That's right. I think that every time I see
should be the last
signs,
thing that they offer,
you know,
in a state.
And when you drive around Florida, you every like third exit you see $19 billion given to education since 1988. Okay, well, here, in another 20 years, we'll give you another $50 billion if you regulate poker online, you know, and of course statewide for other states, I mean. So it's just, it seems so simple.
It does.
Why is
it so
difficult? What's the problem? What are they protecting us from?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, and again, if you're in a state that has the lottery, then you're already not protecting your consumers from the absolute worst of gambling. So you might as well give them a shot to actually win their money regularly.
God. Oh, man, it's just so frustrating. You know? I mean, it's just there's so many things that you could bring up to say, you allow this, why aren't you allowing poker? You allow that, why aren't you allowing poker? And it's just ridiculous. You know, but we can't give up. We have to keep fighting.
No, and we definitely have to keep fighting because, you know, those two lottery tickets I bought on our trip?
Yeah, yeah.
And I gave you like 5 minutes to give me a buck to have half the winnings?
Yeah, yeah.
You made the right choice.
Yeah, thank you.
But I had two numbers on one.
Oh!
And it was like the second and third number, so it wasn't the big money, but I still could have got like, you know,
oh my God,
five out of six or something.
Hey, Powerball's coming January 4th to our area.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
gonna,
see?
You going to play in that?
I'll get more excited if they up the poker laws. How's that?
Hey, do you know what states they're sharing our Powerball with?
It's not our Powerball. It's the Powerball.
That's what I mean. There's
a lot of states.
A lot of states, right?
Yeah,
so
that's
Connecticut
all
up New York and all those.
That's why those jackpots get up to like $330 million.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit more than the World Series of Poker Final Table.
Just a little. That'd be cool if they had like a presentation like that, you know?
Yeah.
And you go to the wherever that is that you cash in for the big ticket, you know, they have all these women come out all dressed scantily clad and bring out bricks and bricks of your $300 million Powerball winning. That'd be hilarious.
Oh, man. All right, well, you know, the worst thing, though, is when you're actually in a poker game and the dealer pushes the pot to someone else.
Now, that's a bad beat, according to Mike Fassett.
That is a bad beat.
That is a bad beat. Exactly. You win the hand and you don't even get the money. That is a bad beat.
Well, a couple episodes ago, we ran a wonderful hotline clip from our friend Mark in Texas, of course.
Of course.
Where poker is not yet legal, but hopefully soon.
He's obviously playing in Vegas.
Yeah. And he talked about that. You remember that whole story about how the dealer came out with
chips for him?
And yeah, a little Ziploc bag of chips and stuff. And it seemed so weird, right? Yeah, yeah. And we wanted to know what the whole story was. Well, Chrissy wrote us with the whole story. And I won't share the entire whole story.
Thank you.
It's pretty long. But in general, but here's quickly the highlights. He was playing at a Las Vegas strip casino, and we will conceal the name because we haven't had a chance to call them and get their point of view.
Right.
But it was on the strip, so this isn't one of those little roadside rest kind of poker rooms.
Right.
It's a big line. And he was there with his brother-in-law, and they played for a while, and he was in the blinds with queen three off. Flop was scary with a straight and flush. He picked up a three, da blah, blah, blah. And so the whole time he said the dealer was talking to his buddy behindhand. And I tell you, I hate this.
I do too.
When you are dealing, I know it gets boring at times, particularly if you're playing like or dealing Omaha 8 and there's a lot of indecision.
Yeah.
But your job is to run the table.
Yep.
Now, you can have a quick wave to your boss or ask whether you're being pushed, which, you know, happens all the time. Hey, yeah. Where's my push?
Yeah.
But these conversations with folks... It just is distracting.
Yep.
So that's apparently what happened is the dealer was yapping to his buddy, wasn't really paying attention, pushed the chips to the wrong person.
God.
So then the guy left, and they called the floor over. Floor said that he couldn't take chips from the player once he combined the stack.
Right.
So remember the guy took the chips, immediately put it in the stack, so that's combined. So he, listening to Chris Cosenza, asked for the eye in the sky.
Yes. Because they did that for me in Vegas.
Exactly.
They took the chips right out of the guy's stack.
Exactly. And he said the floor said the pot wasn't big enough to delay play for that long. I would have loved to seen you in this situation.
Oh, my God. I'd have lost it.
They would have had, OJ would have had a buddy in the Vegas jail.
I would have just gone insane. I'd have tipped the table over and said, okay, now match up all the chips.
Now, the thing about this call, I think we were talking about, it was how hard it would be for us to control our emotions, how angry we would be.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the caller, whatever. But the truth is, he was upset. He used some choice words and told the folks that he wasn't going to spend another dime on the property. But the thing was, I think his wife and brother-in-law were still playing or something, so he got sucked into playing a little longer. So he cashed in and got an apology from the cashier. In the room, and then so the dealer ran up with the stack of chips. That's all we know. We don't know where the chips came from still.
Yeah, I didn't think we would find that out. That's remarkable. Because I think he even alluded to that in the call, was that he didn't know where they came from either. Oh, man. That's just insane. I do wonder where those chips came from. I don't think they came from his pocket. They must have figured something out. Maybe they went to the eye in the sky, but they kept the other thing going. And then
that could be.
And then figured it out and then got it out of the register. Oh, man.
Yeah, but I wonder how that would work with the gaming regulations. You can't just give people money.
Well, they clearly just did.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. The money came from somewhere. The mystery continues.
They could make a mark of it in their books or whatever, saying this, you know, they'll have the film.
Boneheaded dealer mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I wonder if that dealer got a huge, you know, talking to or whatever because of that.
Well, yeah. I hope it's not talking, maybe an email. Well, talking got him in trouble to begin with.
Well, I was glad we got that cleared up because, It seemed like there were a lot of holes in this, not in the story, but just he didn't have so much time.
Yeah, he only had 1 minute.
He only had a minute, so.
Didn't want to get cut off.
Yeah. Because we're strict, man. We're strict.
All right, Chris, so one last chance to make your mark on Apes this year.
Yeah.
We're on the, what do you like to call the Schneid? Schneid, right?
Schneid.
Because our good friend Faso has a banana, and we just have silver medals.
But I'm on the true Schneid, because I'm not even on the Player of the Year points board.
That's true.
1 point yet.
I think I'm like 18th.
Yeah, you're doing pretty well.
I'm a top 20.
Faso's number two.
Faso is number two, but Zirkaboid has a huge lead.
Yeah, commanding lead.
So there's going to have to be a lot of things happening on Thursday, December 18th, for him to lose that lead. But I'm sure people are going to try to do whatever they can to win that title.
It's our main event, Horse, H-O-R-S-E, Hold'em Omaha Rat, Stud, Study, or Better. $24 plus $2 for full tilt poker, 9 p.m. Password is anti-up. All one word, and do what you can to take us out.
Yeah, and I fortunately have not had to cash in my... I already pre-registered, so I had to have the money, and I had not got desperate to uncash and try to keep going with my poker playing.
You know,
I've been able to keep it in there.
I hadn't talked about this on the show, but I had taken some money out because I had built... I started with $75, and I had built it up to about $500. Then I went on a losing spree, and I said, I'll never take some money out. So I took a couple hundred out, paid for all my events that I could, and then when I was done, I had $8 left on Full Tilt. Everything was paid for, but I had $8 left. And today I have almost $70. And I'm like, wow, why can't I always do this? Why can't I just keep doing this, you know? And I just don't know what it is. I don't know, why can't I just keep playing 5-10, nickel dime, you know, and just take a couple bucks here and there and keep doing this forever, you know, until I build up this massive bankroll. I don't know what my thing is. And, you know, even the other night we played, that's another thing we should say, too, is we actually played on our trip to Ebro.
That's true.
Every time we go somewhere, we don't play, and everyone gives us crap for it. So we finally sat down. You played a two-five spread,
which I love.
Limit, and I played no limit. Second or third hand, I get pocket aces. The guy has pocket tens. He raises, I re-raise. He shoves, I call, and my aces hold up. And then I milked it for the rest of the night, won a couple small pots. But, you know, just small little wins here and there. You know, just why can't I keep doing that, Scott? I don't know.
Because you're not hitting and running.
I know. I should be hitting. Well, that's how I built up my stack now on Full Tilt. And I kind of hit and run there. I mean, I left with like $30 or whatever, you know, instead of sticking around. But we had business to do, too. That was why I stopped playing.
That's true.
Yeah, but how did you do that night?
I did not hit and run. I got run over.
Run over.
hit and then run over.
You were hit and run over.
Yeah.
it's tough to play a spread limit game like that. Those kind of stakes. If it's a little bit higher, maybe.
Yeah, you need the cards, so.
You need cards, yeah. Because they're going to pay you off.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But you got to get the cards.
Yeah.
It's a showdown game. But speaking of hit and run, our debate over that continues.
Yeah.
And I think there are folks dialing their phone right now to give more opinions on hit and run.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. This one comes from our good friend Lauren, who we haven't heard from in a while. He makes a good point about bankroll management and how it relates to a hit and run and what you should do. So this is our Donkey Gear hotline, 813-448-1120. You call that number, and we use your clip. We will send you something awesome from Donkey Gear. And, well, let's listen to the clip.
Hey, guys. It's Lauren calling from New York. You guys had talked about buying in for a table, quickly tripling up or quadrupling up, and whether it's right or wrong to leave. But one thing you didn't mention was the concept of bankroll management. Lots of people follow the rule that you never sit down at a table with more than 5% of your bankroll, and you should leave if you get 10% of your bankroll on the table. So if you have a bankroll of $1,000 and you buy in for $50 and you quadruple up very quickly, technically, to protect your bankroll, you should leave because now you've got $200, which is a much larger percentage of your bankroll than you ever really want to have on the table at any given time. It is a good idea to not have that much of your bankroll on the table, so sometimes it's the right thing to, you know, win big and get up and get away.
It makes a good point, Scott.
Bankroll management,
and there's nothing wrong with it, you know, ethical or not. I mean, if you have rules, rules are meant to live by, and that's what you do. If you're a disciplined poker player, which you're supposed to be, you know, you get up and you leave.
Well, maybe that'd be a new shirt for Donkey Gear to come up with. Hi, I
will leave.
I completely respect my bankroll management, so therefore do not be upset with me if I double up and leave. Sincerely, DonkeyGear.net.
If I stack you, I'm gone. Love Donkey Gear.
Well, we mentioned our sponsor. Donkey Gear offers all kinds of pokerware geared towards those who like to be the donkey or those trying to call out the donkey, but it's more than just funny t-shirts, Chris.
No, I know.
Hats.
Yep.
Poker chips.
Yep.
Tables.
Yep.
Dealer buttons.
We got them.
Cards. Books. Poker tables. Other accessories.
Everything.
Poker tables twice. And you can check it all at www.donkeygear.net or just donkeygear.net. And Lauren, thanks for sending us your address. You are a subscriber, too. So not only did you send us your address, you sent us $25.
Yeah.
And we like that, too.
He's a good guy.
So you win this week the Donkey Gear Suckout t-shirt.
Oh,
awesome. Suckout, S-U-K-O-U-T. It's got this menacing logo. It's pretty cool.
And never more apropos than giving this t-shirt to Lauren Finkelstein, because this man sucked out on me something harsh the last time I played in a home game with him, and he knows what I'm talking about. Enjoy the shirt. I expect a photo with you wearing it, smiling, big grin with all my money.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery, the case of the local playground. This week, we're playing in a local charity card room.
My wife always says, when people have money in their pockets, they're tempted to spend it.
Now, these are usually low-stakes games frequented by amateurs and action junkies, and we've just started a cash rotation game of No Limit Hold'em and Omaha 5-10, and it's obvious right from the start that Omaha is going to be very profitable for us. I'm quickly up about $50, so I have everybody at the table covered, and now a hand in the No Limit Hold'em round intrigues me.
Lucky for me, I brought a cigar.
We are short-handed, and I check my big blind option with Jack 8 off. Three players see a flop of Jack 8, 9, rainbow. I check my two pair, expecting the kid in the peach shirt to bet. He checks behind. The turn is an ace, which is also a second spade, and suddenly he looks interested. I bet 10 out into the pot, he min-raises to 20, and after some thinking, I raise to 50. But he snap calls. Needless to say, we lost our interloper.
People in a stressful situation are prone to making quick decisions.
The river is a three, not completing a flush draw. Action is to me. Bet?
See, now, when I first heard it, I thought, oh, man, this is simple, you know? You know, but I always think at the end, the pot is big enough. Do I bet here? I'm only going to get called or raised by a better hand. But then he could represent, and whatever he bets now, I might be uncomfortable if I check to him and give him control of the hand. So I really don't know. Do you make a defensive bet of like $30 here and see what happens? Because I don't really know how much he has in his stack. He said he was up $50, but he didn't say what his stack was.
Right, so, right.
But I always feel like, you know, I'm happy to win what's out there now with this. It's still a marginal hand. There's so many draws out there. There's still a straight draw. He could have woken up, and when he hit that ace, been happy about hitting that ace, and now he's made two pair on the river.
Yep. Yep.
So, you know, ace three is not a holding that he couldn't have been holding. I think I'm checking. If I'm going to bet, it's going to be a defensive size bet, like $25, $30, you know, and see what he says.
Yeah, it seems to me we're either up against a made straight, which means we're losing, or a busted flush draw, right?
Yeah.
Which means we're not going to get called. So doesn't seem like a big upside to me to be betting here.
Yeah, I don't. Well, the snap call could indicate a flush draw.
Yes.
Because,
And it can also indicate the strong hand.
A strong hand, straight. I think that I'm checking here and then seeing what he's willing to bet and if I'm willing to call it, you know, with just my two pair, which aren't even the top two pairs.
So, that's right.
That's just my first impression. But we'll let the nation weigh in, and next week we'll have our conclusion. Okay, when we come back, my interview with Hoyt Corkin.
Become a well-rounded rounder. Register today for the Any Up Horse Course coming to Sarasota Kennel Club on Saturday, January 31st. For just $249, get winning strategies for Raz, Omaha 8, Stud, and Stud 8, plus an $85 tournament voucher, lunch, a gift bag, and much, much more. Register today at AnnieUpMagazine.com, and we'll teach you how to win in Sarasota.
The new and improved Annie Up store is now open, just in time for all those holiday wish lists. With markups just 10% above Cafe Press's base prices, stock up today on Annie Up shirts, hats, gifts, and more, and all of Annie Up's logos. Go to AnnieUpMagazine.com, click on Shop tab, and order today. Send us a photo of you wearing the Annie Up colors, and you just might find yourself in Annie Up Magazine.
I saw a lot of stuff that said that your dad taught you how to play poker.
Right.
But I also saw an interview with you with some guy who's really crazy. He's asking all these weird questions on video. Uh-huh. You said that your grandmother actually taught you how to play cards. Is that true?
My grandmother, we would play generally. This is like when I was 6 and 7 years old.
Okay.
So me and her would stay up late back then, you know, like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right, right.
Playing cards, you know, my play with my grandmother and my great-grandmother. And, you know, it was like rummy, but it gave me the familiarity of cards.
Right.
And when, you know, my dad was teaching me how to play when I was 12, 13, 14, you know, I already had that base, you know,
right.
I was already familiar with the cards.
Now, what were those days like with your dad? Was he a serious player?
He was sort of a country gentleman gambler. He really didn't want to beat the game too bad. He just wanted to enjoy the game.
Okay.
Sort of like a club. You know, he wanted to make, in the 60s and 70s, he wanted to make $15,000 a year. And he got to making more than that, he'd lose some of it back. And he lived a real simple style life, a real enjoyable life. He wanted a good used pickup and a good used boat. And he got to play poker 2 days a week and then fish 2 days a week. And
Now, on your website, it said that he taught you your no-fear approach. Is that true, and how did that work out?
Well, at some point, he taught a very conservative style of play.
Okay.
And Hubert Yardley, I read his poker book. I don't even know if that book's out anymore. But he taught conservative play, and I really believe to be a professional, you know, you got to have a conservative foundation. You know, whatever you go from there, you do.
Because I didn't know if it was your dad played that way. Because it also mentioned how you sat in on his home games sometimes and got to pick up how other people played, and that was where you got your style from.
Right. Yeah, those were some good home games, and we'd have turkey shoots, and we'd have a poker game at the turkey shoot at Thanksgiving, and I'd play in some of them. And they had a game at the Holiday Inn in Troy.
Wow. Now, you grew up near here, and you used to come here as a kid, right? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was a big thrill coming here. Well, you couldn't come here till you was like 18 years old, and back then, drinking age in Alabama was 19, Florida was 18.
Okay.
And we'd come to the dog track here and bet a little on these dogs, and, you know, it was a fun deal. And sometimes we'd bet the window, you know, of the track, but then we'd also, you know, draw out of a hat and see who picked first and bet each other. You know, I'd pick a dog and you'd pick a dog, and I bet my dog could outrun yours, and that was a lot of fun. Very great.
So let me ask you now, you're known for your black hat and your sunglasses and sometimes your earplugs. Was there a time when you played poker and didn't wear that outfit?
I played in the 90s, and I wore a golf hat or just a cap.
Now, a lot of people, some people say, like, a lot of that stuff sometimes is a crush. What do you think about that? And do you feel like you would play differently if you had to take all that stuff off?
No, not really. I don't see where it's a crush.
Okay.
It's a look, you know, and, you know, with the media the way it is, you know, I'm with Doyle's room.
Right.
And Doyle likes the cowboy hat.
Right. So that helps. Okay. Will you be going home to Alabama after this? To your ranch?
No, I'm going to the Bellagio. They got a tournament, WPT, Five Diamond Stars, December 13th. So
okay.
I got a house out there in Vegas, miles west of the Strip. And
you held a charity tournament recently, too, in Vegas, right?
Right. I had a Harley-Davidson charity tournament.
Now, you do a lot of charity stuff?
I do a couple of them a year, mostly there in Vegas. This is really the first one that I've done, the Cancer Society, outside of Vegas. My father died of cancer, so I'm sort of sentimental.
When you left, poker was sort of still kind of an anonymous underground industry. But when you returned, there were millions of dollars to be won and millions of people playing now. Mm-hmm. Have you had to change your game since leaving from 92 and coming back in 03?
I mean, you're constantly changing the game. When I first came back, it was sort of, people played sort of the way they've been playing for the last 15 years, but now people are playing faster, so it almost makes you play more trap poker or more conservative because you don't feel like you could just run over a game like you could 7 or 8 years ago.
And that's just because of the young kids coming up from online and their aggressiveness?
Right. They're aggressive, they're a little wild, you know, but some of them are very good, and this guy that came second at the World Series and knocked me out of the main event in 162nd place, he's a very good player. Ivan from Russia.
Oh, yeah.
And occasionally you run into a real good one. And then this Alex Jacob, I got deep in a Foxwoods event a couple of years ago. And this Alex Jacob played real well against me and knocked me out. So, you know, you run into kids all the time, and you know, it's hard to tell the good ones or the bad ones, and most time you can't tell the real good ones until after they bust you.
That's great. You know, when you quit, I looked at your tournament winnings, and you had like $250,000.
Right.
Now, in like 5 years' time, you have over $4 million. Did you ever think that it would ever get to this? Did you ever envision this?
No, I never envisioned this.
How about the fact that there's a bobblehead doll in your likeness? Did you ever think something like that would happen?
No. 7 years ago, I couldn't imagine.
Do you have a bobblehead doll of yourself?
I do have a bobblehead.
You do. That must be incredible, having your own bobblehead doll.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been, you know, first 3 years, I came back August of 2003, and for 3 years, you know, it was just a blur because there was so much going on.
Unbelievable.
You know, have took some time off here lately. Haven't played in one event since the World Series, so
right.
I'm looking forward to getting back into it. And,
excellent. You know, here in Florida, we're handcuffed. I don't know if you know about it, but by our buy-ins, it's a $100 buy-in for cash games, and tournament buy-ins are still limited, too. Have you ever faced a situation like that in your poker playing where you could only buy in for so much, and how do you handle something like that?
Well, I have. I went to Montana in 1996, you know, just traveling the country, you know, wanted to go up there, and they had a $300 maximum on their pots up there. We was playing in Billings, and... yeah, so that, you know, it does make it smaller, and it makes it where, you know, you're not going to make a whole lot of money, but, you know, you still can make a little bit, and it's fun.
Is there a particular strategy for something like that, do you think? Is it more conservative? Is it?
Well, I don't know if there's really a strategy that, you know, different than the main game. It's just that the money's going to be smaller.
Small, okay.
And, you know.
Okay. Last time I interviewed you was November 2006, and we talked about you might go to people's home games if you were invited.
Right.
Do you still do that, and have you ever actually had to do it? Or?
Well, actually, no, I haven't been to any home games, but I could see where it could be fun, you know, if I got the time, and, you know, it's, you know, where I can see where that could be a lot of fun.
How would someone go about getting you to come to their home game? What would they have to contact Poker Royalty? What would they do?
Yeah, I guess they could contact Poker Royalty. I need to get something set up where, you know, they would be able to contact me through
yeah.
that.
Because I've seen it on their site as well, where you want,
right.
you know, Hoyt to show up at your whatever.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I just thought that would be incredible to have you in someone's home game.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Home cooked meal kind of thing, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
Okay, you've been associated with a lot of online rooms. Now you're with Doyle's Room. How often do you play on Doyle's Room site?
I play on Doyle's Room Wednesday night at 6:30.
The bounty tournament?
They got a bounty
okay.
tournament. That is, I think it's the funnest tournament online, to
okay.
be honest with you. It's a $27 buy-in, so, you know, it's a small buy-in. First place, you know, it was usually around $3,000, so not a whole lot of money, but
right.
you know, it's just a fun deal. If you knock out a bounty, you know, you get $500, so, you know, it's just a fun thing.
Now, let me ask you, too, do you change your strategy at all for playing in a bounty tournament like that? Is they're all gunning for you? Is it something you do differently?
Well, oh, yeah, when people are gunning for you, you got to play more conservative.
More conservative.
Because, you know, they're looking to take you out.
Okay, how'd you get so tight with the Brunsons? Is it just from being on the circuit, or?
Well, you know, I've always had a big admiration for Doyle. You know, growing up, it's always been Doyle and Chip Reese, the two best poker players in the world, you know, from 78. You know, when I first started playing poker, you know, I've been hearing their names all my life.
And, yeah.
You know, Doyle's got a very good reputation, extremely honest, you know, man of his word, and, you know, it's just a pleasure being a part of.
Now, you just got back from the Dominican Republic. Do you enjoy the traveling? I know that you go a lot. Like from here, you're going to Vegas, back home. And...
Right. Well, you enjoy the traveling to a point, but anything over one trip a month is too many.
Okay.
So,
you try to keep it to that then?
Oh, yeah, I try to keep it to that, or maybe even less, you know, so.
Okay.
You know, traveling's fun the first 2 years you do it, and after that, you know, it gets more work.
Now, you still have your home in is it Glenwood?
Right, just out of Glenwood.
Now, do you take care of the cattle?
Little Ro Pettis leases the land out, and he runs that farm there.
What's his name?
Little Ro Pettis. He's a high school friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
He's a couple of years younger than me. I think he's like 46,
okay.
47, something like that. So he leases the farm out, and he runs all that. I've just been playing poker, you know.
Okay. All right, a little serious question. I know that you were a victim of that brutal robbery.
Right.
Has anything happened since then? Is there an update at all?
Well, I've got my Denali back, and I got a Jeep back. And
okay.
I had a motorcycle. I hadn't got it back. My gold bracelets, I hadn't got none of that back. Had some cash in the house and some more incidental things. I hadn't got that back. And they've got a couple of guys in custody.
Oh, good.
So they think it was a group of five.
Wow.
So they worked as a team. And, you know, they really knew what they were doing. They were into drugs a little bit, and that's what got them caught.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Has it changed your life at all, how you look at things or how you're approaching your security now?
A little bit. I'm a little bit more cautious. You know, I updated my security system. You know, bought a shotgun to leave in the house. You know, so you know, I didn't change a whole lot, but, you know, I did want to take some precautions.
Okay.
It's not just a dealer button. It's more than a tournament timer. It's Pro Dealer Button, and it's a synchronized poker game management system. The buttons talk to each other, so every table in your home game is on the same page at all times. Pre-order yours today at ProDealerButtons.com. Use the code ANYUP05 and save 5% on your order.
Did you miss a link on your favorite poker podcast? Or want a preview of the upcoming ANYUP magazine? Go to ANYUPmagazine.com and subscribe to ANYUP's e-newsletter for free. Just click on the subscribe button, and while you're there, subscribe to ANYUP magazine. Just $25 gets you 12 issues of your favorite poker magazine delivered straight to your door. Subscribe today and win tomorrow.
This is Dora Brunson, and you're listening to ANYUP.
Today's Hand of the Week, as always, brought to you by GreatPokerHands.com and its great Texas Hold'em strategy cards. Correct the single biggest mistake made by Texas Hold'em players. Order today at GreatPokerHands.com. Use that code ANTI for 20% off your order. And, Chris, every week our winner gets a set of these wonderful strategy cards.
Very good.
But you can't win without entering. And you enter by sending your Hand of the Week to podcast@ANYUPmagazine.com. And make sure you get all the details there and clear, because I'm not very good. In fact, actually, it sounds like a little freestyling last week's Hand of the Week.
Well, it wouldn't be a show unless you messed up the Hand of the Week somehow. We should always preface the Hand of the Week with that little statement every week, too.
Okay.
You know, your Hand of the Week may be screwed up by Scott Long. But to help you feel better about it, we'll send you
very
these great
good,
poker hand strategy cards.
Well, this week's Hand of the Week, you know, last week was kind of, I got confused because it was on Poker X Factor and lots of hidden type and, I got a little cat-sized pea brain. I can't handle that. So this week I picked a hand that was clearly written out from a hand history. And not only that, it comes from Jen from Vancouver. She is an Aussie, though, and she's moving back to New Zealand. In February, because it's not the same thing, right? Different countries.
She's trying to live in every single nation that speaks English.
Ah, yes.
As their primary language.
Well, she's probably got a ways to go. But
yeah.
Good start, though.
Yeah.
A lot farther than we have.
There's three out of the way. We only have one out of the way.
And not only this, but she told me not to tell you, Chris, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. She likes me better than you.
All right.
That's fine. You think she got an ego? I don't know where she gets that from.
All right.
You seem pretty mild-mannered.
Fine.
But apparently there's some kind of ego that comes out.
Well, you have to have an ego at the end of the week. I mean, if you know, I can't put you on the spot in Hand of the Week. You never do it.
All right, so here we go. She wants to be sure that you don't say, "I knew it," at the end when you didn't say anything to support that during the hand.
See, I remember that. I remember her saying that.
Be reserved in your comments on her hand here and be sure you know your no Eureka's at the end unless you back it up.
I had no idea that was coming.
All right, so she's online in a quarter 50 cent limit hold'em. See,
you know, you should be doing this hand.
Exactly.
I'm not good at limit.
Jen's just setting this up for me.
All right.
So it's a full table of nine players. Looks like the stacks, for what it's worth in a quarter 50 cent game, range from about $245 all the way up to $37.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, big range there.
Okay.
Stacks mean nothing really to me in limit.
Well, it does if they're low enough that they can get all in.
Yeah, I know.
Because then you get some people that just say, hey, screw it, I'm going.
Yeah, I'd still.
But if they're bigger than that, then
it doesn't really mean that
much. All right, so we got a folder, a couple callers, and it gets to us. And we look down at Ace of Diamonds, Four of Diamonds. Suited wheel cards.
Yep.
I like these in limit.
Yep.
And I just like to call and see whether I can flop something nice.
Me having no ego would agree with you. I would not raise here. I would simply call, and I know I have the pot odds now because I have a couple of limpers. I think that maybe I would just call here.
Excellent. Very well played.
How's that?
Very vanilla. I like it.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, well, the Great Poker Hand Cards agrees with us. Ace four suited and a nine player table is an okay green.
Okay.
Although green, I almost think like
go.
Good, go. Yeah. But it's not saying you shouldn't, but.
Yeah, we'll go. It's okay to go ahead.
It's okay to go ahead.
It's safe to go.
All right. So we're calling, and Jen agrees. We got a couple folders. The small blind calls, and the big blind wraps the virtual table.
Excellent.
How many hands in the week has the big blind
wrap the virtual table. Seems like a lot, doesn't it?
A lot, yeah.
Okay. The flop is the two of spades, five of diamonds, six of diamonds.
Wow.
And we'll pause for you to write it down so you
That's
can
nice.
Get, collect your
That's a nice flop for
non-egotistical
us.
Non-egotistical thoughts.
That's a nice flop for us.
Lots of possibilities here. We don't have anything right now, but lots of possibilities.
It's a lot. We have wheel draw, we have an overcard, and we have the nut flush draw, and we even have the straight flush covered if we get it with the... Somehow, we can get the straight flush draw wrapped there. So, like that. I like that.
All right, first player to act is Flushin' Al. I love that name. Flushin'. No G. Kind of hip.
Flushin'.
No G.
Okay.
But no little apostrophe either. So
okay.
Just Flushin' Al. He bets out a quarter. We lose one player. The next player raises. We got another caller. Now it's back to us.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
I'm calling.
Just calling?
Yeah.
Not raising?
Nah, I'm not going to make it two bets. Or three bets. No. I'm not going to make it three bets. I got another person behind me to act. If I make it three, he may cap it. And if he caps it, I'm going to have to call anyway because the other guys are going to come along. So I have no. I'm not going to lose the other player who bet out. So why would I want to just... Why would I just cap it or make it three bets? I mean, because he's going to cap it anyway.
That's true.
So I'll just call and see what happens behind me.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you, and this is getting really boring.
Yeah, no ego. Yeah, that's what happens when I play no ego. I'm just like you.
Well, here's the thing is I want to build a pot because I got so many outs, and I have a feeling I'm going to win this hand. The odds are in my favor, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But raising, I guess, is going to continue to build a pot, but I like concealing, too. And we've already got somebody raised. We're probably going to get all these callers, so there's probably enough money in there. I don't need to risk another quarter right now.
Yep.
On my draw.
I agree. And then if it gets up being capped, you're just going to look like you have to call rather than, you know.
Exactly.
Bumping it.
That begrudging, like, fine. And throw the quarter on the table.
Right, exactly. On the virtual table.
Yeah, changing your avatar so you sort of sweat a little.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Jen goes ahead and raises here.
Okay.
And I can't really fault that, I guess. I mean, it's limit. So, I mean, you got a lot of outs, so.
If I had an ego, I'd fault it. But I have no ego in this hand. So I'm happy for her that she took this aggressive stance. There's always a different way to play a hand. And in this hand, she chose to raise. And I'm happy for her.
Wow.
Because I'm just a diplomatic sort of
you are.
Happy gentleman today.
You are. Very nice. Very nice.
I don't know if I would have raised. But I think I would have probably just called. But raising does indeed build a pot, but it may give away the strength of your hand that you have no fear at this point. I don't know. I mean, you know, some people say that whatever, you know, advice we give would make them go broke. So I don't know how going broke, you'd go broke by just calling, but by raising, you could go broke.
Well, I guess here's the other thing. You actually are masking your hand more by raising here now, the more I think about it, because you're probably not... No one's going to put you on a flush draw here, three betting, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I think you're looking to protect like a set, or maybe you have a made straight. So if a flush card hits,
here's the thing,
you might can get more out of it.
Here's the thing. Are you really? How could you protect when it's already been bet, raise, call? You're not going to get anyone out. So
protecting is not right. But, all right, okay.
So
all right, you got
me. You could be looking like you're trying to build a pot, too, by raising. So I would just call and make it no information at all.
Of course, a lot of thought going into the quarter 50-cent limit tables, too. So.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. You know, you got to deal with that. But I think that, you know, a call doesn't give away the strength of your hand, you know, at this point.
Okay, well, she raises, and everybody calls, of course. And the turn is the five of clubs. Not a card we really wanted to see, because now the board is paired.
That could be someone has a small set and made a boat.
So we could be drawing dead now.
So two pair, and now they've made a boat. There's a lot of bad things that happen there. So yeah, our ace is dead, probably.
Exactly.
Ace, if that happens, even our straight now could be dead, and of course our flush could be dead. So yeah, that's not good for us. I wouldn't be aggressive from here on out. There's no reason to be aggressive now because you could be drawn dead.
Yep.
You know, if you're getting like 12 to 1 on your money, that's one thing to get a call, but I'm not going to be aggressive now, you know, because I have no ego. So what happens? What's the action?
You're just jelly. No backbone.
I have no backbone.
I have to pick you up and roll you out of the studio.
I'm a jelly roll.
All right, well, Flushin' Al continues to bet out, and two callers, it gets to us, and Jen, I think, agrees with us that now that we don't know where we stand now, so we're just going to call and hope for the best.
And I don't think that we would have gotten any more information at all by raising even earlier on. You know, we still don't know where we are when this card comes and they bet out. So I think I still would have rather have just called earlier, because since I didn't cap it on you, it would have been the right move. Mm-hmm. At this point.
And then we would have saved a little bit of money for this unfortunate table or unfortunate card. All right, the river's a three of diamonds.
Okay.
Flushin' Al continues his betting out. And now is raised all in by the next player.
Which means nothing.
Well, yeah, it's one more bet. Double right. bet, so up to 95 cents. We lose a player, and now it gets us.
I'll just call, because that person could just have a four and think they have the straight. It's enough. So I would just call and see if the raisin now pumps it again. Now, I guess it's enough to make it an official raise by going all in?
We are eligible to raise here if it's like.
I would have just called, because there's so many hands that beat me, you know. Yeah, I would just call, especially with a bet out again, you know, as somebody could have had a set they're trying to protect, and then the other person going all in could have had two pair that made a boat.
Well, this is what really makes limit difficult, because it's all about winning bets.
Yeah, and
saving bets. You don't want to. Here's a situation where you don't want to lose an opportunity to make an extra bet that's going to get called. At the same time, you don't want to put an extra bet in that you're going to lose.
Well, here's the thing. This raisin now person has been very aggressive all along. So even if you just call, you may get that bet back, you know, when he re-raises. So,
I think that's a good point.
I would just call.
And I think I would just call, too. Jen, of course, raises, though. And flush and now, of course, calls. And showdown, we have our ace high flush. And what do you think our flush and now, the guy that's been leading out, had?
Well, the guy who's been leading out, I think he has like a small overpair, or he has like the five in his hand. That's all I can imagine. I mean, he could have a boat. He could have had a set, but I don't think that's what it is, because he wouldn't have just called on the end. But just calling, I think he might just have a five in his hand. He might have like an ace five or something like that. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, you know, again, it's quarter 50 cents, so we get all kinds of birds in this game. Right. And so this player mocked his hand, but had two pair of kings and twos. Actually, three pair, really. Fives and twos.
Fives and twos, not kings and twos.
Yeah, no, but the king kicker.
Oh, the king kicker.
That makes a difference.
Yeah, king couldn't have a pair of kings and twos.
So he was playing way too aggressively.
Yes,
way too aggressively.
Obviously, I did not think of that.
Now, the all-in player did have a six of hearts and a four of hearts for a straight. So
yeah,
the legitimate hand.
And that's now, if you go back and replay it, Jen, I said the guy who went all in probably had a four in his hand and thought his straight was good. Didn't I say that? I did say that. So you can give me that one for my ego. But the other person, I had no idea what that guy had. I mean, it's amazing that he would bet out again with just a pair of deuces. It's not going to get anybody to fold there. And then when they re-raise in a call, he calls again. I mean, how can you call again with a pair of deuces? Even if it's 25 cents, 50 cents, I don't think plays that bad. Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Enjoy your move to New Zealand.
That's true. And hopefully we'll get these great PokerHand.com cards to you before that move.
Yeah,
something to read on. They're coming straight from Seattle, so it's not that far.
To read on the plane.
read on the plane.
A 19-hour flight, or whatever that is. But it was a good hand. I had a feeling that someone had to straight there, obviously. But I couldn't tell what that raisin now guy had. That was,
yeah, you get too many players in
such
there.
Such a weak holding for such a strong showing.
Exactly.
All right, well, another good hand, another good show. I want to thank Hoyt Corkins for spending some time with me at Ebro. And Scott, you did a hell of a job carrying the show for me today while I was sick. I appreciate it.
Oh, gosh, thanks.
you have no ego.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't do my gym membership, so I need to do some heavy lifting somewhere else.
I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We will see you at the table.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.